Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessings this week to us. We thank you for all of your provisions for us, and you know all of our needs. You know all of our challenges that we have before us in our life, in our business, in our personal lives. We thank you for the way you've been with Mark this week and strengthened him. We thank you for the way you've been with Rosette. Thank you for your presence amongst us and our family. We pray that you would continue to draw us closer to you. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins where we've grieved you. And we ask that you would continue to shower us with your grace, for which we cannot take one step without your grace in our lives. We pray that you would also quicken your word to our hearts as we go around your word this morning, and we pray that you would just cause us to be hearers of your word and also doers of it. We pray that you would be with all of those today who are your people that are suffering in body or in finances or in maybe even in other countries that are being persecuted for your name's sake. We pray that you would intervene for them in a special way. And we pray now that you would go with us and protect us and put a shield around us from Satan's attacks, we pray. We ask all these things in your name and for your glory alone. Amen. When are we saved? When are we saved?
Before the foundation of the world.
That's what, okay, Mark said before the foundation of the world. Now, you know, I would preface that with saying that there's a lot of people out there that not only don't believe in election and predestination, but they attribute our salvation to our decision and not the decision of God, of the Trinity, of the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and the Son. They attribute our salvation to a decision that we make. But there are many, many scriptures in the Bible that prove that that is not correct. It is incorrect doctrine to say that. Now, the other question is, okay, as it relates to the actual coming of Jesus Christ, we know that the Scripture says that He was manifest in these last times for us. And so I've heard people say, well, you can't be saved until Jesus Christ comes. Well, we know that that is an error. Why can I say that that is an error? Well, then my question is, how were all the Old Testament saints saved? Because Jesus Christ hadn't come yet, had He? So, would we say that the Old Testament saints were not saved until Christ came?
No.
No, because we know that Moses was at the Transfiguration, and Elijah was there. And they were speaking of Christ, and they, you know what they were speaking of? They were speaking of Christ. Future death that was yet to take place. So the Old Testament saints, through the faith that was given to them, it was a gift of God, the saints were given the gift. And they were given this gift by God to believe that Jesus Christ would come and He would be the Messiah and that He would pay for the sins of all of His people, as we see in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by His stripes, we are healed. So we see that that is the whole tenure of Scripture. Now, we also see that there's a number of Scriptures that talk about Christ being slain from the foundation of the world. You know, a lot of people want to put God in a box and say, well, he wasn't slain until he came down here and physically died on the cross. Well, that is true. We look back to the time when he actually physically hung there on the cross and suffered for us and died for us. But we also see that there is, with God, God is not put in time. God is. Remember what he told, told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. I am that I am. So, we're going to look at some scriptures to show that, you know, when I was before the Attorney General of the State of Missouri's office in a deposition over this lawsuit that was brought against the State of Missouri because them demanding that I place children with homosexual foster parents, they wanted to get into some theology, and they wanted to know, when were you saved? Mark's topic this morning is, when are we saved? Or when are we saved? They said, when were you saved? And I said, well, that's not a quick answer. They go, well, just give us the date. And I said, well, I am one of God's little sheep, and he chose me in him before the foundation of the world. And they go, where did you get that? Well, I said, it's found in the Bible. And I gave them the passage of Scripture where that is found in the Bible. Now, let's look in Revelation 13:8, Mark, and I want you to read that for me. And just kind of look through that, Revelation 13:8.
Can you read that?
Sure.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
And so he says there in the 13th chapter, he says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? Even the reprobates, okay, are going to worship him one of these days. Can you believe that? They're going to bow their knees. You know, there's people out there that say, well, you don't even have to know the name of the Lord to get to heaven. I'm telling you, everybody's going to know who Jesus Christ is. Because it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Okay, now we're talking about when we are saved. Okay, our names were written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. And it says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, before creation, before the eons of history, before the sun was set in its place and the moon was set in the heavens, before the stars were formed, there was a covenant struck between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, when are we saved? Well, another good passage that points to the when we were saved. We're not talking about this morning who are saved, and we're not talking how we're saved. We're talking when we're saved. So let's go to Ephesians, and we're going to see what the Scripture says as to when we are saved. Mark, read verse 4.
What chapter of Ephesians?
First chapter.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Now, you know, a lot of people will say, well, salvation is different than being chosen in Him. Well, I'll tell you what. Being predestinated and being adopted as a child of Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure, good pleasure of His will, is the evidence that we have been selected, as it were, to be recipients of His sacrifice on the cross for us. Yes, He came in time. Yes, He died on the cross. Yes, He shed His blood. And yes, that blood made it effectual and secured our salvation. But isn't it wonderful to know that according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world? Okay? Mark, read verse 5.
Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will.
Predestinated. We've talked about this before. I've heard a lot of different definitions of predestination. But if you look up the word predestination in the dictionary, it says to predetermine beforehand. Or to determine beforehand. We don't determine our own destiny. Christ predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of our will
and no, His will.
His will. Not according to the good pleasure of our free will, but according to the good pleasure of His will. Now read verse 6.
To the praise, the glory of His grace, where He hath made us accepted in the beloved.
To the praise of the glory of our free will. No. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Made us accepted in the beloved. Now, read verse 9 for me.
Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself.
He's telling us here, I have told you beforehand what the mystery of My will was. And the mystery of My will was something that was purposed in the Godhead, in the Trinity, in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that covenant we talked about. It had nothing to do with you. Okay? And He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I get this little paper put out by one of the Primitive Baptist churches called The Comforter. Sometimes it's not real comforting what's in there. But anyway, in that little paper it said that there was an article that said that He didn't predestinate all things. He only predestinated salvation. So there's nowhere in Scripture that talks about predestination as it relates to anything other than salvation. Well, that's not true. They need to read this 11th verse in Ephesians 1 because it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. Okay? He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That includes both the who and the what. And so they're just denying that scripture there. Okay? Now again, we want to stay on topic. When are we saved? When are we saved? Well, it says in the fourth verse, it says He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now He goes on and He says, now we know that we were born and conceived in sin. Okay? So that something has to happen in our lives, even though He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Something has to happen in our hearts. Back in John 3, He said, you must be born again. He said, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man can know the sound thereof. Well now, Mark, look over in the second chapter of Ephesians and read verse 1 there.
You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
So He says, you know, there's got to be a quickening. You know, we were born and conceived in sin. There has to be a quickening. Now, that quickening did not happen before the foundation of the world. Okay, because if that had happened, if we had been born again, okay, before the foundation of the world, we wouldn't have been born and conceived in sin, would we?
No.
Okay. So we have to talk about this quickening, this being born again. It says, read verse 5.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved.
Going back to sovereign grace. Sovereign grace had nothing to do with the free will of man. And also notice that it has to do with this quickening, okay? This quickening has quickened us together with Christ. In other words, there's been a bond or a seal. There's a song that says, you've been sealed from the day of redemption until the day of redemption. It says, even when you were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Okay? Now your question is, when are we saved? Well, we know that we are saved when we're quickened by the power of Jesus Christ. We are saved. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but He's now quickened us together in Jesus Christ. So again, He says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. Now, He says, read verse 13.
Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
We cannot have a proper understanding of the gospel without the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what secures our salvation. Now I want to go back and say the blood of Christ is also what secured the Old Testament saints' salvation. Remember up here He says, by faith. Okay, He goes, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That is applicable to the Old Testament saints. We could say, for by grace they are saved, the Old Testament saints, through faith, not of themselves, it's a gift of God. So we cannot say that the Old Testament saints were not saved, okay, and seated in the realms of glory with Jesus Christ before He died on the cross. Can we? Yes, we can. Because they were. They were saved. I want to repeat that to make sure people understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ knew all of those for whom He died, and His blood is effectual for every one of them. Okay, now, let me go back to the Old Testament. I want to go back now to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and read what it says there. This was 2,000 years before Christ came. Okay, and it's foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there's been a lot of charges made against different people over their, if you want to call it, soteriology and the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of justification and salvation and all that. But He says here, He says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is the arm of the Lord only revealed to the New Testament saints?
No.
No. The arm of the Lord was revealed to Isaiah here. It says He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from Him. This is 2,000 years before Jesus Christ came on the face of the earth. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He recognizes that this Messiah has borne all the Old Testament saints' griefs and sorrows and sins. He was wounded, read verse 5, Mark.
But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. That includes the New Testament, and that includes the Old Testament saints. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, both the Old Testament and the New Testament saints. Now, I want you to read verse 10 for me. I'm sorry, verse 8.
He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
For the transgression of my people was he smitten. This is Isaiah talking. And he's already talking about, notice how he's talking about this in the past tense, as if Christ had already been killed. And this is 2,000 years before Christ came. For the transgression of my people was he smitten, he says. Was he stricken? Now read verse 10.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand.
Okay, he's made his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed. Okay, he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, speaking of Jesus Christ, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It's speaking there of all of the ones that he came and died for, including the Old Testament and the New Testament saints. The Old Testament saints don't get to heaven any differently than the New Testament saints. They don't get to heaven because they are of Abram's seed. Okay, they get to heaven because they have faith in Jesus Christ. So we are saved. When we are saved, we are saved. We have to go to the cross, Jesus Christ. Even though we've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, even though Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, we could not ever have salvation had not Christ come and died on the cross. There's a lot of people leaving out the precious blood of Jesus Christ in salvation. Oh, you don't have to have the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, you don't really have to have the cross. You know, that's dirty. People don't want to hear about blood. People don't want to hear about pain and suffering and dying. But Christ said that I lay my life down freely and I take it up again. No man can take it from me. He is the one that came to save His people from their sins. So we are saved. Our salvation takes place at the cross, just like the Old Testament saints' salvation takes place at the cross. There's an old song that says, at the cross where I first saw the light. Okay? That is where Christ paid the price for our sins at the cross. And he says, now we're going to look over to okay, go back to Ephesians, Mark, and I want you to read in the second chapter of Ephesians. Read the 13th through the 14th verse. I want you to read 13, 14, and 16.
In the second chapter?
Yes.
13, 14, and 16?
Yes.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The next one.
14 and 16.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
People have gotten away from the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. Even those in the supposed Reformed faith, they put all the emphasis on predestination and election, but they forget the cross. Without the cross, without the blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sins, the Bible says. But here he says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament saints can be reconciled into one body, having slain the enmity thereby. So we see that. Now, how does he bring the Old Testament saints into this when they were saved? It's really important because, see, the dispensational teachers are teaching two different ways of salvation. People like John Hagin, you're saying the Jews don't even have to go through Christ to get to heaven. Okay, which is a denial of the effectual work of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a denial that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He says here, Mark, read verse 18.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Now he says, read verse 20.
They're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Notice he didn't say that they were built on the foundation of just the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they're built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets, speaking of the Old Testament saints, Jesus Christ himself being what?
The chief cornerstone.
Yeah, and then he brings all of it together, the Old Testament church and the New Testament church together. Read verse 22.
In whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Now read verse 21.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
It all is one church. One faith, one church, one baptism. Not of Apollos, not of somebody else, but all of Jesus Christ. Okay. He purposed this from the foundation of the world. It was an eternal purpose. Eternal purpose between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to go over to the third chapter of Ephesians and read the 11th verse.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay. According to the eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, this is a good topic as to when we are saved. You know, yes, we've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. But our actual legal salvation took place at the cross, where I first saw the light. That's when the blood was shed. That's when the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And he entered into the holy place for us. He became sin for us. He became our sin bearer. And we were given the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Had he not come, had he not died, had he not rose again, we would have had no hope. Okay? But because he accomplished what God had sent him to do, we have a guaranteed eternal life. Now, it could never have happened that he would not have come, because it was determined from the foundation of the world that he would come. But he was manifest in these last times for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for the work on the cross. We also thank you that we were chosen in you from the foundation of the world. And we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of your Son. Thank you for your word. Go with us now, we pray. And honor your word, we ask, for your name's sake. Amen.